दुनिया के मुसाफिर, मंजिल तेरी कब्र है। तय कर रहा है जो तू, दो दिन का ये सफर है।
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to this edition of the Coffee Express, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Marcus Sahaba Online, Sawtu Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, the voice of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa, on this day, the 17th of Jumad al-Ula, 1447, corresponding with the 8th of November, 2025. Alhamdulillah, we just completed with our segment called Builder G, where we discuss DIY, do it yourself, and we discuss hardware products and fishing. Today we had hunting and also gardening and food. We will now, inshallah, get on with our next segment, which is Straight Talk. And in this segment, we connect with our brother Ahmad Parak Hafizahullah, who is an ex-counselor but still working for the community, in the interest of the community, guiding the community, in issues where they need guidance, like connecting them with the municipality for problems that they're having with their bills, etc., and giving them guidance on how to handle that. And of course, he is quite involved in the kafan and the dafan issues. So, inshallah, let us now cross over to Brother Ahmad Parak. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Ahmad Parak.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alim and salam to all our radio listeners on a beautiful Saturday morning. Allah bless us with another fine day, Mulana.
Then, it's not too hot, not too cold. But the only strange thing about November, I can't remember myself using a jacket or a jersey or even sleeping with a blanket in November. And, this year I'm doing it. So it seems like this climate change is a reality.
Jimolana, climate change, in fact, I was in one of the committees in council where we were handling the climate change. But, it's strange. When the researchers come up with some of the information, it is mind-boggling to listen to them and see what happens and everything in terms of the earth, the soil content, the pollution, everything, and how it affects the our day-to-day living in terms of getting clear, fresh air for our needs on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, now, do you have any new information, any new developments regarding the kafan and the dafan issues in our community?
There was a few questions that came from our last two programs we had, and I've already attended to that telephonically, and there was some emails I've already sent off. Maulana Ji, so that was taken care of. Inshallah, next week, we will have the communication head of Metro Police. His name is Oisin Zungu. He is going to be joining us with our professor and myself. You will have to, I don't know how you want to make some time, but maybe you will have to, Maulana, find a little bit, maybe about 5-10 minutes from your other program, to bring in Boyson Zungu, who is the head of communication at the Metropolis, who will give us an in-depth of what is happening in the council, in the metro regarding the festival scene, how the road closures is going to be affecting the residents, especially the beachfront, all the whole roll-up, in fact, everything, the blueprint has been already submitted to council, and he will give us full input on how the system is going to be implemented for the festive season in terms of drunken drivers or whatever, how they will be having kangaroo court. All that is going to be taking place in his speech, in his interview next week. So if you can do some questions that you might feel that the questions need to be answered by Voice in Zungu, feel free, Molana, drop up a question in your list, and I will also send you my one, what questions we should be asking. And in fact, I think you should be heading it and then ask all these patrons questions for the community so that the community knows, especially on the festive season, which roads is going to be put from what time to what time, and how the roadblocks is going to be taking place. Everything, anything to do with Metropolitan at our, in our city, Durban, will be spelled out by the communication head, Voice in Zungu, Molana.
Inshallah, we will do that, because, you know, it is very valuable information for those that are out of Durban also. You know, they should know, particularly for our Muslims, you know, drunken driving and things don't very, really bother us. Because, you know, I remember once we were wearing hats. We were just coming after Isha and they stopped us. They just checked the license and they told us, you know what, I don't think we have to open your boot to look for alcohol because we can see who you are. But, you know, the road closures is something that confuses a lot of people, that they don't know how to really get onto the beachfront. So we will, inshallah, make allowances for that. Now, coming to the next thing is, this partnership with the municipality and private business is something that has been going on. Not only private business, even NGOs. I know the NGO that I used to belong to was Islamic Relief Worldwide, when it was once controlled by the British office, Dr. Hani Al-Banna and people that were, you know, in charge of also the South African thing. That's when I was employed by them. Now they have become like not a separate entity, but the South African thing is more independent of the head office in Britain. At that time, we also had a partnership with Itikweni, you know, because we used to take care of orphaned and vulnerable children more in the rural areas, because there were a lot of orphans, particularly in areas like Ambombulu, due to the HIV and AIDS virus. And I won't say it was very rosy, because, you know, some of the counselors, if you want a space where you can interview people, you know, to see whether they qualify for the assistance you are offering, they'll ask you, what's in it there for me? Can you also give me a hamper monthly and things? So I don't know how well this worked, but I sent you some article on this. Itikweni municipality transformed its approach to public and private partnership. Now, you know, after reading that, quite a few questions came into mind. Firstly, the public access. The framework mentions transparency and accountability. We know that is something that is quite weak. As an ex-counselor, would you recommend that all PPP contracts, that is public-private partnership contracts, including the full financial terms and performance clauses, be made publicly available, so much so that anyone can read it online?
First and foremost, let me just come in here and just say, we now coming through to the festive season. Each counselor will be given 500 hampers. Now, from these hampers, they must do an application for the deserving cases. Then the ward counselor will have his own committee and do a due diligence. And hence, these hampers are quite big. In fact, it's about 1,000 grand or 1,200 grand this year is going to be. Now, what happens is, most cases, the accountability, that's what you just mentioned, the accountability is not, although they say they have done the due diligence, but nothing. They've got, you know, that counselor has got his pals, they've got his relatives. Those are the ones giving getting the hampers and the poor community who's deserving they don't get it. So that is one of the, you know, I said, I just bring to our listeners' notice. So this, it will be rolled up towards the end of this month. And in fact, when this information do come out on the, press, go and do the application, because you deserve, if you deserve it, you should be entitled to get one of those hampers. So you need to liaise with your ward counselor and say, you know what, there's my application and I need this hamper. So, you know, you should be getting it. Now, the accountability and NGOs and various other MPOs, any all organizations like the Gifts of the Givers and everything, council holds them very dearly to the setup, because when you get a disaster, when you get any, when any calamities that hit the city, these are the first ones that, that will come to the forefront and assist the community, not other community. You know, there could be other big corporate companies who will assist, but whoever, who comes first, always 99.99% that I can put my head on a guillotine and say that our Muslim community come out first to assist. Various organizations, they will come up to assist with blanket, water, food, whatever it is to assist the community, whether it's in the John Dolls, whether wherever it could be, they will come and assist. Now, the accountability, as you said, it should be transparent. Now, what happens in council is when things like that, especially you get grants in aid, international NGO, NPO will send money to the city for a specific reason that this money must be utilized for the vulnerable or the disabled or anything. That's where our problem comes in, because that money is not channeled in for the reason that money has come into our kitty. So that's number one. Number two, you are 100% right in to say that we must have 100% foolproof accountability. The public will be able to go onto the system to see if the council for the year 2025, our budget was 75 million. How that money was used and what they have prioritized in terms of water, sanitation, electricity, roads, all that should be in the dossier to stay on a day-to-day, minute-to-minute, you'll be able to go and see on the system. That's it. Now, what council normally do with the city manager and the CFO and all these guys, they got a big backlog with everything. And then you'll see that they will not be able to give you all the information that what you want. They will only give you a rosy picture that they have fixed. In Reservoir Hills, they did that. ABC, they fixed the reservoir out there. In Barrelham, they did that. They just give you the rosy part of it and to say that this is what they have done. Now, this is even if you see that the press article came up regarding the CIIU, how the accountability on that issue is. The issue is simple. You have to account. You can't leave a standalone CIIU alone and not asking them any questions and all. I know when I was still in council, till the end of May, and I got it into the MPAC meeting, they had 97 cases outstanding that was given for prosecution from 2022. Now, how come that matters were not finalized? It doesn't take too long. Now, with the new system in courts, even today, if you go Monday, you make an application, you can get a court date very, very quickly. In fact, I was speaking to some of my friends who are in the legal field. They say, you know, now, previously, they used to say, any matter, we'll take it to touch. Meaning, they know down the line, 18 months, it'll come before court. No more now. Within a couple of months, you're getting a court date for trial dates and all that. So these are the things that are starting to happen in government, in the city. Things are starting to look up. Now, that's where our city, the city manager, CFO, mayor, and then the exco, they have got such a big responsibility. They can't account that the parties are putting big pressure, like what is happening in Gauteng, what is happening in Swane. Swane, the Nasipi Moya has turned the whole city around and then brought it from a loss to a profit municipality. So this is what's going to be happening here. And the election is around the corner in 2026, or maybe in the first week or second week of February 2027, depending on whichever comes first, they're going to work that date out. So things are starting to happen quickly now because every party is fighting for survival here. And the ruling party, all the parties are going to fight. They want to show them that I did this, I did that, I did that. Vote for me. This is what's going to happen, Molara.
There's mention about an independent office here. Now, in your view, as a person that has experience, that has been in council, you know, it is very difficult for anything to be independent here. Even the judicial system can be influenced. So in your view, what procedures should be followed to appoint its members, and how can its independence from the mayor, city manager, and political parties be guaranteed?
That is a grey area. That's what we've been fighting for. Now, the city manager, the mayor, and the CFO, they have got the biggest say in terms. Now, one is looking, the CFO looking after the money, the city manager running the whole city, and the mayor making all the decisions as well with the city manager. Now, there is no accountability in terms of the EXCO. Now, because the EXCO is run by the ruling party. Now, you know how EXCO works is depending on how many seats you have in council, you will be allocated so many seats in EXCO. So you get the ruling party, then the second next party, third party. So based on that, they will be able to bring in, including the city manager, the mayor, the deputy mayor, they will make up 10 into the EXCO. The EXCO cannot be more than 10. 8 will be from the various different parties, depending on how the votes, how much of votes they receive. And the 2 that will come in is the mayor and the deputy mayor that will sit in the EXCO. Now, that's where our problem comes in. Now, if you got, because the party did very, very well, the ruling party, so they got 4 members or 3 members. So everything comes before EXCO. And the others, 1 or 2, they got their pals with the other parties. They will vote for that item, and it comes before the full council, and it gets approved. Now, this is where our problem is. Now, some of the things that shouldn't be passed at EXCO level and came before council, it gets passed in council. It shouldn't be passed, but it gets passed because that's how the system works. So you are 100% right in that. We should have a complete oversee committee that should be, before it even goes to council, when EFCO has approved it, it must come to them. They need to do a due diligence before it goes to council. Because the last point of entry is the council. The council approves it, then it becomes law, and it gets rolled out to the community and everything else. And this is what happens for us.
Now, the next thing is this choice of the partnership projects. You know, the one thing like surprised me is Randall's Road is a road that is, you know, like an arterial road. That road is neglected. If you go by that Cecil Garage, that area where the medical landmed and things is, that road is terrible. Nothing has been done that. But those secondary roads like Donata Avenue, McGregor Road in Asheville have been resurfaced and made smart. But it's only the residents of those roads that use those roads. Randall's Road is used by the people of Reservoir Hills, Clare Estate, everybody that's in the bottom, the people of Sydenham, Overport, and everybody, nothing has been done. So the next question is project selection. You know, how should partnership projects be identified? And should citizens or community groups propose projects for consideration?
All right, Manala, in that day, if you take Ward 31, Ward 29, you might belong to Ward 29. Ward. First and foremost, there's an allocation of 3 million per councillor, ward councillor, for upgrading for smaller items that we call. That's one. Secondly, you are 100% right in that Danota Avenue, I saw by Melanson Road, North, there was that whole road is being tarred, all that area is being tarred, fine. That we're talking about Randall's Road, that was already in the system, and it was approved from my understanding that allocation for the fund to upgrade that road was already allocated. So why it hasn't been done? Now that's when the community comes involved and they must start asking questions, send letters to the ward councillor asking what happened about this. Why from the 3 million you received for the community, why it was only used in system, why it was not using in Asheville, why it was not using in Musgrave, because Ward 31 is part of Musgrave, Asheville, all that area. So we ask questions on those things there. Like we had to fight to get Essenwood, where the flea market, to get that whole area fenced. If we didn't put pressure, we couldn't have got that fencing done. So this is what happened. If we're not proactive and asking the ward councillor what is happening. So the ward councillor gets all the information, and she's got all the information. She needs to spell it out. And the ward councillor must have 2 to 3 meetings with the community. I don't know when last, I don't know if you have been to one of these meetings or you were invited to any one of these meetings. This is what happens. Now, and especially in our community, we are lack when it comes to meetings and all that. The other people will say, no, we're not interested. You know, nothing is going to happen. But you need to go to these meetings and say, you know what? Money's where allocated, where it's been channeled to. We want to know that. Why is not, this is, has not been done. All these things, then they'll have to minute that, and then you can, then you've got a recourse. You can either write to the city manager, the speaker's office, the mayor. We ask these questions. That's how you get things done. Now, you take my area. Now, they want to form a UIP, SN Ward, Musgrave, and all. I ask the question, why would you want to put a UIP? Because they said Florida Road is very successful. Glenwood is very successful. UIP is very good. I don't dispute that. But UIP, they will deduct, they will add on to your rate, and they will deduct additional fund, I think it's 430 or 330, that they will be deducting additional from your month, on your monthly bill that would be there for the UIP. Now the question arises, Molana, is when you are the second highest rate payer in the country, why should you be double taxed? In other words, join the UIP, pay the 630, and then also pay the very high rate in the country. Now, if you take our area, why should we be paying second highest rate in the country? This is the question that you need to bring before the council, bring before the COFO, and say, you know what? We have a problem. We should be exempted for UIP. You set the UIP, and we are paying already the very high rate. It will be free. It shouldn't be charged to us. That should have been the case. But they want to now bring UIP. Now, when you bring a UIP, people get paid. Whoever is working in the UIP, they get a monthly salary because the community is paying, the businesses are paying for it. So I say, I'm not interested in the UIP. And I made it very, very clear in Tutu, in my area. I'm not interested in the UIP. First and foremost, I'm paying very high rates in my area. And now I'm going to be double taxed for UIP. Why it should be? They're supposed to be giving me that service because I'm paying the second highest rate in the country.
Now, another thing is this country is famous for tender planners. So there's conflict of interest. In your view, what specific measures should be in place to prevent conflict of interest? Should the names of all private bidders and the ultimate beneficial owners be disclosed before a contract is awarded?
If you take Molana in council as well as councillors, their wives, the siblings, or somebody down the line, they have got companies. And what they do, they beat the system. and rightfully, what they did was right. In other words, you form the company, your taxes are up to date. They make sure every single box is ticked. Then they submit that thing to get a tender from the council or government. You must be on the database. And once you're on the database, now they tell the bidding committee, when it comes tender committee that comes before them, my company's Zungu PDY Limited. So they will see. Then they know how to manipulate the system. And whether Zungu PDY Limited was 20 Rand higher than the other bid, but there's no question asked, he will get that bid. And this is what happened in council. And secondly, when they take that contract, now that contract is being now pumped to two or three other people for subcontracting. So that guy who is Zungu PDY Limited, he sits in our office, he's got the cronies, and they have already subletted, and that's when you get the work that is underrated work, not proper work, no proper due diligence was done from the beginning. Now, when you come to this area, especially in terms of when tenders are actually given, that you rather take two or three weeks, make sure a proper tender committee is there to finalize it, to see who it is, where the company is, where they're based, are they, all the box ticks fine, is there, everything is there, are they doing the work themselves or they're giving it to subcontractors, they're supposed to be going out and see if they build a house in Reservoir Hills, if the roads that were supposed to be done or the manholes supposed to be, they got a contract to do all manholes and piping for in wherever area. They're supposed to go and see how their workmanship is. They're supposed to see in the last 3 years how their performance was. Then only a contract should be given, Molana.
Yeah, definitely, because we see there's a lot of jobs that are done so haphazardly that the public starts wondering, where's our money really going to, our taxes? But anyway, we have, alhamdulillah, come to the end of this segment. Inshallah, we will talk next week, and a provision would be made for the chief of the Metro Police to answer questions regarding the festive season. And once again, Jazakumullah khair for the valuable information and the valuable time that you give us. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you in abundance in this world and in the Akhirah. Until next week, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.